Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hey folks, welcome into Onto Waveland, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I feel like I almost said 7 years of Topps baseball cards, which would be dramatically less interesting than 70 years of Topps baseball cards. But I'm sure that the last 7 years of Topps baseball cards have also been excellent. I am Brett Taylor, joined by Sahadev Sharma. We're here to talk Cubs on Onto Waveland. I say that like with a drag. We're here to talk Cubs because, you know, you guys know, if you're listening, you know that it was not a good stretch since the last time we got together. You want to sum it up, Sahadev? You want to give that a, it's, you know, like, right. I don't mind doing it always, but you know, it's not a great job when the Cubs are coming off four straight, just bad losses.
It was Thursday morning when we last chatted, I believe, and the Cubs then no-hit the Dodgers, and it seemed like, ooh, maybe this 10-game road trip won't be as rough as everyone thought. And the four straight losses, I'd say two of them were competitive. Three of them were really competitive, and two of those three, the final score doesn't really show how competitive they were.
So you're including last night?
I'm including last night. I think last night was a competitive game until that eighth inning. I mean, that was a really dramatic game. Some tough losses here. I think it's going to kind of skew a lot of views, and I'm doing my best not to just completely jump off and say it's time to sell. I think there's a lot of factors going on here that we'll discuss over the next 20 minutes or so. But there's just I don't think it's fully representative, the losses of the gap between the Cubs and the Brewers. Right now we're at four games, and the Brewers are playing a pretty simple schedule. The Cubs are competing their butts off against a really tough schedule while they're banged up. And it you know, they've hit this rough patch at the end of the month, and it just feels like, uh-oh, here we go. This is what we all expected, just a complete June swoon. And I don't think it's truly a June swoon. I think it's just a brutal schedule that's a little bit over the top when you really look at it, and the difficulty of the pitchers that they're facing, and you combine the issues of that we've been talking about all season with the starting pitching, and then the offense going back in this funk, and now it seems like the biggest issue that I'm a little concerned may linger is that we're starting to see some of these bullpen arms tire. So that's where they sit now, four games back, kind of in a difficult spot, but also about to get out of this really difficult schedule and maybe turn it back on. Well, I think this next month will be just as important as this past month as far as, you know, can they do what they're supposed to do?
Well done. good summation of where things stand. I think the money quote, if I can regurgitate it well enough from what you said, is that I am also not ready to like immediately jump and say, okay, time to sell. And I think the key word in there is time. And it's both because what's happening with the Cubs in terms of their results over the last 2 weeks is related to the schedule. It's related to who they're facing. It's related to their injuries, all of which are going to change because that's the nature of baseball, but also related to who the Brewers are playing. I mean, credit appropriately to them that one, they've beat up on the Cubs this year. If the series between the two teams had gone differently, this would already look different. So kudos to them for that. And then they have, I think you described it charitably. I'll be less charitable. It is the most joke of a stretch of a schedule I can remember seeing. Like in my, I've been covering the Cubs for 13 years now, and I cannot remember a time when which means I obsess about opponents' schedules. I'm like a scoreboard watcher to a ridiculous degree. I cannot remember the last time I saw a schedule for like a month and a half where it was like every bit was favoring a team. So it's like the worst possible teams playing at their worst possible ability, using their worst possible pitchers, and the home road division of them is like perfectly, I mean, it is really something magical that the Brewers have been granted by the baseball gods during this stretch. And but again, where you have to land on the kudos is if you get a joke of a stretch, you should win a lot of games, and they are. So you package all that together with the Cubs situation and the losses this weekend, and you say, that's not a reason that I'm unrealistically optimistic about both sides of that equation turning over the next few weeks. It's just a reason that I'm like not committing here on June 29th to saying there is no chance the Cubs will be around first place in a month from now. With all appropriate love to the fans who are reacting in the moment of a historically bad loss. I loved that, by the way. That made me feel much better about that loss, that the Cubs had never been tied in a game going into the eighth inning and then given up 10 plus runs to lose. That had never happened. And so like all of our feelings about that and how egregiously bad it was, we were correct. You've never seen anything that bad. So I appreciated that. But with all due love to the fans that do react that way in a game like that, I think it would be silly to say that you know for sure at this moment that this is a team that absolutely is going to sell or should sell, because we just don't know what it's really going to look like in 3 weeks. And I think I said this on Twitter last night. All we really know now, what's been decided, and I'll gauge your reaction to this, Sahadev, is being a notable early buyer is probably off the table now. Now, I don't think you could justify really giving up much of anything of value to bring in like a starting pitcher in a market that's already tight as hell. I mean, it probably getting anybody to eat innings right now would probably cost you something notable. I don't think that would be justifiable. Whereas maybe 4 or 5 days ago, I would have said otherwise. And so like for me, that's a really big swing in just 4 or 5 days. But on a pretty modest point.
Yeah, I've been talking to a lot of people both with the Cubs and around baseball. So this is just like information, tidbits I've gathered over the past week, 10 days. Just in general, like trying to get an idea of the trade deadline. Not just the Cubs, but just how teams may be working. And everyone kind of is saying, like, I don't think this Marlins trade is an indication that things are going to get kicked off and we're about to see a flurry of moves. My read on things, talking to people around the game, is that especially the pitching, the starting pitching, is going to take until like closer to the deadline, which I think, you can look at it two ways, right? The Cubs need a starting pitcher now, right? Maybe that's Trevor Williams. I don't know. But they definitely need help now to keep this thing afloat and to get on a run. But they also need time to figure out what they are, because I think I probably lean in harder on they can't be sellers than I truly believe. Right? They kind of you know, there's a lot of arguments to be made of why they should be sellers. And I get those. I'm not blind to the fact that there's a ton of free agents, that if they don't win the World Series, this is going to look bad. And if not immediately in the long run, it could look really bad. It could hurt this organization for years down the road if they make mistakes over the next month, right? This is kind of a critical period. I guess we say that a lot. Maybe that's just true all the time, but this feels like especially true.
Every single
right
day
now.
Is like yeah. just immensely critical.
but this next month plus, right, until we get to July 30th is going to be really interesting for this franchise and how things look, not just in 2021, but beyond. But the feeling I got was the Cubs aren't going to, they were never going to be aggressive buyers. That just wasn't in the cards. That didn't, you know, something would have to be very different. I would think they'd have had to stay healthy this month and just really dominate and say, like, look at how good they are, right? We didn't even mention that they had two West Coast trips, came back home late at night after both of them, and then got their butts kicked the next day after coming home at 4 a.m, right? So those are some tough things there, too, that we didn't even account for. It was just a really tough stretch. I think we'll learn more about this team as they get healthy, and I think just trying to be buyers, if that's going to be a thing for them, it's just they're going to be patient with it. They're waiting it out too. They're going to see how this looks. You know, I've even wondered, can they buy now? Can they try and pick up a pitcher in the next week or 10 days? And then if things don't turn, do they become sellers still? Can that still happen? Yeah, that's possible, but that's also a lot harder to pull off than it is to just you know, than for us to talk about it, right? That's not as easy. It's kind of like the whole idea of, can they be contenders and buyers and still trade Craig Kimbrel? Sure, you could talk about that, but there are so many ins and outs that involves and intangibles that we can't really even fully grasp that makes it almost impossible to pull off. So there are certain things that we can talk about and like would be like, wow, that'd be great if they could do that. Just not sure if it's realistic or if it's something that's even possible to pull off.
Can I just pause on that Kimbrel point for a second, just because I've seen it written about a lot, and I've seen a lot of people talking about it, and some people were asking me about it this morning. And in addition to what you're alluding to, which is like, it's great in theory to suggest, you know, we'll trade this guy and we'll buy this guy and we'll arbitrage and we'll actually end up with more talent and we'll be even more competitive. The reality of doing that, not only is you've actually got to pull all of that off, which is quite difficult, but then also these are real humans in a clubhouse working together, and the dynamics get affected by things like that that actually potentially make you worse for the wear. Set all that aside, here's my problem with it. Say, Sahadev, do you remember 2016? It was a pretty big year. Some good stuff happened, right? You had a Cubs team that knew they were going to be making the playoffs. And what did they desperately want more than anything? Because it's the most valuable thing you can possibly have in the playoffs. Shutdown reliever, right?
Yep.
So you're telling me your idea is to trade away Craig Kimbrel for talent and still, quote, try to compete, which means what? Make the playoffs? So your whole point is to give away the one thing that would be the very most valuable thing that could be a separator for you if you do make the postseason.
Yeah.
What in the world is the point of that? I
especially
really don't
get with
that.
The way this team is built, right? Because yes. Right now, I mean, if you want to make an argument for them to buy and them and you know, I think the end game then is, I believe this team has a way to get through the playoffs. That way to get through the playoffs and make some noise is going to be with their bullpen, right? Which, you know, I'm starting to, I want to see the next, you know, 2 weeks, how Ryan Tepera does and even Chafin and even Kimbrel, right? I want to make sure that this isn't they've already been used too much, especially Chafin and Tepera. Those are guys I want to say are like 2 and 3 in appearances in the game. So yeah, you can't, it just doesn't, it doesn't, you know, I've tried to go through that. I'm like, I wonder how it would work. I wonder if it's possible. And, you know, a month and a half ago when it was like, oh, maybe Rowan Wick comes back at the beginning of June and it's just lights out. And everyone's like, yep, there it is. That guy, that's the guy we remember when he was healthy. Well, that's out the window too, right? That's not happening. So even that outside chance is gone of Rowan Wick coming back and being this dominant force and kind of making us feel like, okay, there's the heir apparent to Craig Kimbrell. He's right there. And you still have this trio, you know, this so-called trio of great relievers and you can trade Kimbrell. That's not happening. So there isn't even wild theories like that can't be pulled off now. So it just doesn't make sense. It's not possible. I think if they're going to sell, they're sellers. If they're trading Craig Kimbrell, they're sellers.
Keg Kimbrell sounds like, yeah, that was his name in college when he was, yeah, like just a big drinker. He's doing kegs.
Keg. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's... You know, it's fun to think about these things in theory.
Sorry, I got to interject again. I like how you said exactly in the same voice that if I had made like a really good point, you know, it's, yes, like, oh, it's, no, I was talking about his FIP and made a really, oh, yes, exactly.
No,
whereas,
great point.
I was,
Craig,
yes, big drinker. Exactly. Big drinker. Yes, exactly. Good point.
There's just no way to thread that needle. That's not a realistic idea. And you know, a lot of this stuff that we like to throw around in theory just can't, it doesn't work in baseball and with real lives involved and people who would be pissed off about it in that clubhouse and, you know, just wouldn't be able to let go of the fact that looks like a move, a team that's not trying to win, would make.
I'm surprised they've been able to talk past the Yu Darvish Victor Caratini trade for the, you know, same reason. And that wasn't even in season. So that's the main difference. And because they don't want to implicitly be talking bad about Zach Davies, who, you know, he's been fine. He has not been, I think, the best version of what anybody would have hoped necessarily, but he's actually been on a run since the start of May when, I mean, he's got like a 280 ERA, and that includes that blow up against the Marlins.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So, Sahadev, here's the question. I don't know. This sort of became the theme of this episode, but I think it's appropriate. Not because it's like the thing you have to talk about in late June and all throughout July, because I don't want us to like only talk about this all for the next month. But I think it is an appropriate checkpoint now, because as you mentioned, the Marlins and Blue Jays did that trade, and it does sort of open up the question of like, okay, are we starting to see some seller action? The Cubs dropping these four games, falling a decent clip back in the Central. Here's the question for you. If you were putting dollars on it, what is your percentage belief that the Cubs are going to be sellers by the end of this month? You go in, and you can do a percentage if you want, or you can go 2-1. You can go, you know, where are you placing that? That they're going to be, and when I say sellers, I don't mean just like standing pat. I mean trying to explore deals and find a taker for, you know, reasonably valuable shorter-term players. As we sit here today, yeah, no one's going to hold you. Yeah. It's fine. I mean, you're putting money, sure, down on this, by the way. Like, you're going to owe me, but no one else is going to hold you to this because okay, you're not a new, okay, you're not a new user at BetMGM, so you don't qualify for the special deposit offer anymore.
I mean, I'm going to cop out and say 50-50.
It is not 50-50. Get out of here with your 50. Give me trickle one way or the other. Come on.
You think it? I mean, I think the next 2 days are huge. I think
okay. Then you know what?
Being
here, I'm going to give you the hedge.
Being 4 out and being 2 out all completely change the math.
I'm gonna foist you on your own petard there, and I'm gonna say, fine. Let's say the Cubs win the next two. What's it look
okay.
like? Let's say they split it, and let's say they lose the next two.
I'd say I'd put it at like 30% that they're sellers.
If they win the next two?
If they win the next two, I mean, they're only two out. It's tough. They have trouble with the Reds. I know that. The Reds are pesky. I still think that – I think a lot of this will be confidence for them if they can win these next two. I also think if they win the next two, we're going to see some turning with the offense. I think that's going to be a big key. I'm really keeping an eye on like a guy like Ian Happ. Just little things like that. I shouldn't say little things. They're pretty big things. I mean, who is playing well on offense is going to be huge, right? Over the next, until they get really healthy. We know what's going on with Rizzo and their pitching gets a little bit more fortified. And that, I think Trevor Williams helps that. I think Justin Steele would help that. So I think little things, you know, guys coming back will help over the course of July. You win these next two games. You're going to have a pretty, it would have to be like an average July or terrible July, right? And I don't see an average July. I just don't see that happening with the way this schedule is, unless they just are a different team and we were blinded by May. And that's possible. I'm not ruling that out either. I just don't think it's true. And I know we've talked about this a lot. It's just really hard for me to believe that we've talked about this offense for years, right? We've talked about what they're missing. We've talked about all of that for so long. And then they add those elements. And for a month, they look like they did when they were at their peak in 2016, where they weren't... I shouldn't say that. Not their peak in 2016, where they were just like clobbering the other team and just grinding opponents, starting pitchers into the ground. Those first, 3 months of 2016, that offense was just in a groove that we've never seen, really. But maybe a step below that. And everything was clicking. I'll admit to that. The hot players were hot. I mean, the superstars were hot, and Duffy and Nico were hitting, and Jake Marisnyk was crushing every fastball that they threw him in the zone. So a lot of things were going right, but I also don't think I think they're much better than they are now on offense when those guys are in. I know people are just like, you can't say that Nico Horner and Matt Duffy are that important. There's just something about adding that element, especially to this particular lineup, that really changes the way everything works. So as long as they get healthy, as long as they get Nico, just get Nico back soon, and things are going to look a lot different. You have to, of course, Rizzo's back is a big question mark right now. So we need to keep monitoring that. But this isn't the team that we're seeing in June is just trying to get through this month and somehow stay in the race and then hope to get healthy and then hope for reinforcements at the end of the month.
That's fair. Give you grief, but I also probably would have wanted to slate it around 50-50 as we sit here today. But I also agree with you. I think you make a good point that it's weird to say this and I think be right about it, that in a 162 game season, two games can really make such a big difference in your perspective on what is likely to happen or not happen. And I think that if the Cubs were to win these next two games, you're two back. I think it's just so unlikely that they will fall far enough back by the end of July that they're going to be a big seller. I think that's very unlikely. Like Sahadev said,
I'd say they're hovering around that number where Jed has to decide, are they sellers or buyers, right?
They're like not, if they're alone in second place, pretty clearly, where you could feel comfortable that they're not going to get usurped by a team behind them, but they're three games back. I just don't see it.
See them selling at three, but then I know it's just a game difference, but you start to get to four, you start to
so
question
that's the
it. Over five. Yeah, I think four is the over under. I think four is where you say I don't know. I think five, you're there by July 28th. They're sellers. You know, it is. It's just a tiny, and of course how they look. Right?
Well,
what's going on? Let's put that. We need context to
it
as
let's
well.
Add that explicitly. We're implying that. But this is a different conversation if this was a team that was expected to be a juggernaut and it was it's just sort of fluky that the standings are the way they are. We believe that this team is fantastic. That's not the case. There's a lot that we like about this team. We think maybe the bullpen's legit. But the rotation is a very real concern that's not going away. The nature of this offense might be a concern that's not going away. And so that informs exactly what Zahadev's saying, that it is like right at that 4 or 5 game mark that I just think it would be, I think it's not hard to justify selling, you know, if you're at that level with this team and given the context of who's a free agent, what's going to be happening in the future, what the farm system like, all that kind of stuff. I think, you know, 4-3-2, anywhere tighter than that, I think you get excoriated as like another white flag situation, fair or unfair. So that's why, yeah, these next two games are going to make such a disproportionate difference, especially because the swing, you know, from 2 games out to 6 games out is a really huge difference. And so the Cubs caught a little bit of a break in game 3. It won't be Corbin Burns going. He got pushed back to the Pirates series.
I really wanted to see how that spin on that.
I mean, the data, it would be interesting to see what it looks like. And we'll see it with Woodruff too. Cause again, by the data, his spin rate's way down, but he's had some absolute gems even after. And so, and we know that, we've said that this isn't, it's not about being accusatory. It's just pointing out the relationship between the sticky stuff enforcement and the data and then the performance thereafter. And so, yeah, if the Cubs could steal this one against Woodruff tonight, then I think, you know, you start to feel a lot better. But I don't fault anyone who comes off of these 4 games, and then especially the historically ugly one last night, and says, it's not that I would start the sell-off right now. It's just that I don't believe that this team is going to be in a position to buy at the end of July. Hey, you want to make that argument? I don't know. I'm not going to push back.
I completely get it. I mean, I'm going to be, you know, like a part of Twitter is having fun and joking around about stuff. So
you've been doing a bit of it. Hey, folks, make sure you're following. It's at Zahadev Sharma on Twitter. He's been, I wouldn't call it trolling necessarily. You're just like, you're taking what people give you and having fun with it. And I appreciate that.
Well, also the conspiracy theories about why haven't we seen a video about Jason Hayward's home run? A little silly. It's like nobody's hiding anything from you, people. Like, David Ross isn't in on a conspiracy theory here where he knows that it's fair, but they've put the pressure on him to admit that it was actually foul.
And unless that's not David Ross.
It just blown my mind. Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff is just having fun. Like, that was a foul ball. I didn't see it, and that's why I asked him yesterday straight up. I'm like, did you see it? Because I could not see a video. There was no video for us to see that showed it was a foul ball. And I was a little surprised that both he and Hayward were so chill about it in post. Like, they were just like, yeah, that, you know, it was a foul ball, blah, 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 that's the game, blah, 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 it's frustrating, but that's what happened. And it's like, what? Like, that, I didn't see it. Like, the guy called it fair, and then they overturned it without replay, and then they went to replay and then confirmed it? I'm so confused. I didn't get it, right? And a lot of fans didn't get it, and I get that. But hearing Ross yesterday just flat out say it was foul, he said it multiple times in multiple different ways. Not like he was upset in any way. It was very lighthearted. And he was like, no, I saw it. He was like, I was pissed off. Like, he didn't say pissed off, annoyed Sunday morning. And he ended up talking to Michael Hill. And it was, he saw video and he was convinced. He's like, yeah, that's a foul ball. But I understand being annoyed, because I think all the fans were, and I get that. Like, we did not see, like, I was just annoyed because I'm like, what is this? A national broadcast?
Well, it didn't help. Yeah, it did not help. I'm sorry to lay some shots here, but it did not help to have a national broadcast of that moment, and like the entire extent of discussion of that moment was like one replay of it, and Joe Buck saying, I can't see it, whatever.
Like, it wasn't an entirely huge moment,
like
in the game.
Moment of the game.
It's seventh inning, and the Cubs are desperate for runs, right? We've been watching this team just like struggle to score, get like, they're scratching by. Every win is just like so hard to come by right now. And it's like, that's just, that was a huge potential home run, right? And I'm trying to remember the situation. It was seventh inning, correct? So,
yeah.
I mean, you change 2-2. Who you're pitching. Keegan Thompson isn't in the game in the ninth inning.
No, it's 3-2 and it's Kimbrel coming in.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a completely different game. So
they should have reviewed
no
Bellinger's
time on it, and it was like that. Yeah, so I get why fans were annoyed. It was like, come on, treat that with the. It was a pretty big moment in a Cubs Dodgers game. Teams are like, both of them were struggling at the time, and it was just like there was no discussion about it. It was just like, yep, that happened. Oh well.
All right. Well, let's leave it there. That was, I'm glad we got to that though, because I mean, you're right. That sucked up a lot of oxygen. Was that Saturday? Yeah, it was because it was Fox's Saturday evening game.
Yeah.
And fair enough. I did eventually see, and I don't know if somebody snuck the video clip out of MLB central offices, but I did see a little clip where I think I probably could make out some pixels in the shape of a baseball going in front of that foul pole. But but without placing myself within the conspiracy theorist group, I do think it is odd that in these situations there isn't like, you know, just like tweet it out or something. You know, if you've got a definitive video.
Yeah.
Just send
no,
it out.
I get that. There's frustration there at minimum. Like, why do we have to even have this discussion? Just show us the clear. If you have clear evidence, just show it to us. It makes it so much easier for everyone. And it's like, yes, I agree with that. And I get that. And that's yeah, I want to see it too. Like that's like I said, that's why I asked.
But, you know, I also want to see video of Bigfoot, and nobody's going to release that to me. So I guess we'll just let the conspiracy live on. The truth is out there. David Ross has been replaced by a skin bot, and he's he's under control of the league.
Michael
and that's
Hill
just how it's,
is, yeah.
Michael Hill is. Pushing Michael Hill buttons. Doesn't even exist. That's just a code. That's just a code. Like, oh, I talked to Michael Hill about that. And that's this code that we know that the Ross bot 3000 is operating correctly. All right. Well, folks, we will leave it there. And we thank you kindly for listening here to On to Waveland on the eve of a couple very big games against the Brewers. And we'll be back at you later this week after that series when we can make good on our pledges to say that we know a ton more on the basis of those games. You know what's going to happen? Like, they'll play out in some way that we can't foresee right now that leaves us afterwards saying, you know, I really don't know. I don't know if they're going to, we're going to have to wait and see.
We'll and just so, split because we both decided
yeah,
that two losses
both,
and two more wins.
We both talked about two and two. We didn't talk about the split.
And a split, like, that doesn't tell us anything.
That is how it will go. All right. So thank you folks for listening. Make sure you are, subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a rating and a review. That's Sahadev Sharma. Get his stuff at The Athletic. I'm Brett Taylor. You can get my stuff at Bleacher Nation. We thank you kindly for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.